Our text this morning will be out of John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped in to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Father, we gather here today to celebrate this very holy day in the church. We're so thankful that we who were not a people can now be called the people of God. We who were not beloved can now be loved. We thank you that you were willing to do this, that we might be brought to you. I praise you, Lord, that you were willing to go through all this, that we might become the children of God. If there's any here this morning who have not ever called on your name, I pray that this will be the day of salvation for them. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I've entitled this, "He's Alive." The death of Jesus of Nazareth on a Roman cross is a historically documented fact. Josephus, a first century historian, writes of it. Historians can't argue that. They have found it. They cannot deny that the man Jesus of Nazareth died on a cross. Now, the resurrection of Jesus is still denied by many, and others try to discredit the scriptural accounts recorded in the Gospels. One thing is clear from the Gospel accounts: even Jesus' own disciples did not believe in his resurrection until they saw him face to face. We just read there that when Mary Magdalene found the tomb empty, that when she went to John and Peter, she didn't go say, "The Lord's risen." She said, "The tomb's empty. Somebody stole the body." So Peter and John ran to the tomb, and they both looked in. And it says when they saw it, they believed. I've heard some teach, well, they believed he was raised. The Bible doesn't say that. All they believed was that the body was gone. because it said they didn't understand the scripture that he had been raised from the dead. And I can admit today, you know, with a lot of people, they can say, well, that's just hard for me to believe. I've heard people say that. I don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. You can't prove to me that he's been raised. My answer is, you can't prove to me that he has not been raised. All Rome and the Pharisees would have had to do was present the body of Jesus Christ. It would have stopped Christianity dead in its tracks. They could have proved it was a hoax. But the problem was, the body wasn't there. There's a group of so-called scholars several years ago called Jesus Seminar that said, well, Jesus' disciples buried him in a shallow grave. The dogs dug him up, ate him, and scattered his bones out, and that's why they can't find a body. And I say to them, if that's what you want to believe, if it makes you feel better, go ahead. But the fact is, they could not produce the body of Jesus Christ because he was alive and well. The dead don't lay in the tomb. Mary, when she went back to the tomb, was weeping and turned around, and Jesus was standing there, and it says she didn't know it was Jesus. People say, well, that's because if he was raised, it was a spirit she saw. He appeared in a different form, you know, and she didn't know who he was. Well, the fact is, she wasn't expecting to see Jesus standing there. And when she turned around and he said, woman, she didn't recognize him. But when he said, Mary, then she knew who was talking to her. And she wrapped her arms around him in joy, and she hung on and wasn't going to let go. And Jesus said, Mary, don't cling to me. Some translations say, touch me not. Well, that's not what the Greek says. Mary had wrapped her arms around him and was not going to let go of him. I don't blame her. But Jesus was saying, Mary, don't cling to me. I've got to ascend to my Father. I think personally, this is my opinion, that this is when the vision that Daniel saw, recorded in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that's when this was fulfilled. Go home and look that up. I'm not going to read it for you. This is my opinion. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proved a lot of things. As Wayne mentioned this morning, the church at Corinth, people came in and was stirring that up and saying he didn't really rise. And Paul said, no, the 11 saw him, I saw him, and there were 500 people at once that he appeared to. So that's something we accept by faith. And when people want to doubt it, that's their prerogative. But I believe in it. And as Wayne mentioned, Thomas, one of the 12, said, I won't believe it unless I can put my finger in those nail holes and put my hand in his side. And Jesus showed up and he said, here, Thomas, put your fingers in here, stick your hand in here, and quit being doubtful. And Thomas fell on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. So Thomas was convinced. And Jesus said to him something that applies to everybody in this room that's a Christian. He said, Thomas, because you've seen me and believed, you have believed. But he said, blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. How many in here has ever personally seen Jesus? If you have, don't raise your hand. I'm just asking that. None of us. I've never seen him. I will someday. I know he's alive because he lives in me. I don't have to see to believe. The resurrection from the dead validated the claims that Jesus was the Son of God that he made about himself. Paul says, concerning his Son who was descended from David, according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So for me, that's the first thing the resurrection did. It validated every claim that Jesus made. That's why people try to discredit it and deny it to this day. Because it was proof that he was who he says he is. Jesus had accomplished all that God the Father had sent him to do. His death and resurrection brought us forgiveness of our sins. That's why he died. The Bible says he was delivered for our sins and he was raised again for our justification. The writer of Hebrews says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. There's been men through the centuries appeared and claimed that Jesus did not get to finish God's plan because he died on a cross and God sent them to finish it. And you can know that that's a lie from what the word says. It said Jesus himself, by himself, had provided purification for sins. There's nothing left that God needs to do. The whole plan of God's plan of salvation was carried out in Jesus Christ. He's the only way you can be saved. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ reconciled us to God. That's another reason he had to die. Paul said there was a wall of hostility between Jew-Gentile and God. That wall is called sin. He said Jesus tore the wall down. God said to the Jews through Isaiah the prophet, my arm isn't too short to save you. It's your sins that separate you from me. You need to understand God is a holy God. He hates sin. He wants nothing to do with sin. And because we are sinners, we can't have fellowship with him. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how much you think you follow the rules. Our righteous acts, our good acts, are filthy rags in God's sight. I didn't say that, he did. And what Jesus Christ did was to tear that wall down. The Bible says that he was born under the law, and the law had a curse. Cursed is everyone who doesn't keep every precept of the law. The Bible also says cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus, Paul said, became a curse for you and for me. He who had never sinned, he never broke God's law. The only man that ever lived that never broke the law took the curse of the law, our curse, on himself so God could nail that to the tree. And Paul said he took it out of the way. You need to understand we're not under the law today. We are under grace. Does that mean that I can do anything I want to and be a Christian? No, it does not. But it means that since the law's out of the way, God doesn't hold that against us. Because sin was the problem. The law was a problem. It was holy and good, Paul said, but the law condemned us. The law said, you shall not, and if you do, this is what's going to happen. God in his justice had to deal with that because he is a just God. So the judgment was placed on his son on the cross who had never done anything wrong, and he was willing to bear that so we could be reconciled to God. Paul said to the church at Rome, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. There's no other way to come to God but through Jesus Christ. Muhammad can't save you. Buddha can't save you. Confucius can't save you. Anybody else that lays claims that if you want to be saved, you got to do this, this, you got to join this church, you got to do this, this, and this. None of that will save you. The Bible says whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, that's the start. Whoever believes that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that God has raised him from the dead. That's what God asks. And then you commit your life to follow him. It's not a one-time commitment. It's an everyday commitment. Wayne mentioned it. Paul said to the church, if Jesus Christ was not raised, number one, Paul said, we're lying to you. Number two, you're still in your sins. And he said, number three, we Christians need to be pitied above everyone else because we live our lives believing that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Well, I don't need anybody's pity. I believe that Jesus of Nazareth was executed on a Roman cross, sentenced to death by the procurator, Pontius Pilate. I believe he was buried in a borrowed tomb. I believe on the third day he rose. He ascended back to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God until all of his enemies are made a footstool. The Bible says the last enemy he conquers will be death. I believe that with all my heart. I believe Jesus is real as anybody I'm standing here looking at today. You can't convince me otherwise. Is it always easy believing that? No. I was just talking to somebody the other day, was talking about all the hardships and struggles they have as a Christian, and they didn't understand it. And I said, number one, Jesus never promised that the life of Christ was an easy life, the life of following him. In fact, he said it's a cross-carrying life. And if you understand the concept of carrying the cross, that's death. And the Lord said, unless you're willing to do that every day, you can't follow me. Being a Christian isn't easy, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And I've had people tell me, well, you're silly for believing it. Well, if I'm believing something that's not true, leave me alone. What's it hurting? I've told many people, if I'm right, you're the one that's going to have a lot to answer for. If I'm wrong, I don't have anything to worry about. If they're right, if it never happened, okay. I want to remind you of a promise. There were seven promises Jesus made in the book of Revelation. And I thought about this when I was thinking about Mary didn't recognize him till he called her name. Then she knew who it was. One of the seven promises in the book of Revelation to the overcomers, Jesus said, I will give you a white stone with a new name. And nobody but you and me will know that name. And every time I think about that, it's so cool to me that in the kingdom of heaven, if I hear that name, I know who's talking to me, and I know exactly who he's talking to. Nobody else will have that name. I'll be the only one that has it, and only me and the Lord will know the name. Mary didn't realize who he was until he spoke her name. And someday in the kingdom of heaven, he will call each and every one of us by a name that only we and him will know. Jesus Christ is alive and well. And I know we're going to have our family dinners and doings today, but keep that in the forefront of your mind. That's why we're here. If it wasn't for what he did, we'd be lost. None of us were good enough to be saved. The Bible says we were God's enemies, and he chose to save us anyway. Would you stand with me, please? Father, I thank you again for the great sacrifice that you made that we might be called your children. I ask your blessing on everyone here today and those that couldn't be. Father, as we go our separate ways and have our family dinners and things, I just pray that your people will keep it on the forefront of their minds what it is we are celebrating. I ask again your blessing on everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.